Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We are going to put the spotlight on the Southwest tonight. Thanks for joining us. In studio with me is Ruth Ryman. It's kind of amazing that we stopped talking enough to do a proper introduction because we really have a lot to talk about in this great green world of ours. Ruth is the travel demand manager, management manager from Sun Rideshare, which is yet another great program operating under the Pima Association of Governments umbrella. Ruth, we really do appreciate all that you and the other staff at PAG do for our community. And I so mean that. There is a lot of interest among the local listeners to Mrs. Green's show, a community from the university. I talk about Daniel Stolte, who's he's an internationally known science writer, and he always writes me comments about, I'm so glad you have things on about PAG. I never knew what they did. So it's really putting some spotlights on what you do. So thank you for being here. And then I want to see if I can get this right. It's kind of an ongoing little joke with Sheila Storm and I about, I said it wrong last time, what PAG is. So I'm going to read it and see if I can read it right. PAG is a 501c4 nonprofit metropolitan planning organization with transportation, energy, and sustainable environment divisions. And it is indeed a council of governments that works with state, local, and tribal governments. Did I get it right?
That sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me. We'll know when we talk to Sheila, but I want to make sure that I got it right. And since the time will fly, and we really do want to make it all about you, please let me quickly mention to follow Mrs. Green on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest, all of which can be done by visiting my website at mrsgreensworld.com. And that way you will stay connected and learn about shows like this. So Ruth, this is going to be fun. I think you have the longest title of anybody I've ever had on the show, Travel Demand Management Manager. So tell us about your job. The scope of it is somewhat daunting at times, I might think.
I think the title is more overwhelming than my job.
Than the job?
Yes. It's a really fun, good job. It's been the last year or so I've been doing some great projects and just loving it. What I do is I manage the Sunrideshare program, which includes outreach and marketing for alternative transportation, as well as the travel reduction program, which is an ordinance law-based program that requires major employers to promote alternative transportation at their workplace. So I have a couple variations on the theme, but all of it is about getting people out of their cars, driving less, using alternative transportation to reduce pollution, congestion, and now we talk about reducing oil consumption. So there's a lot of cool things going on, and it's just a fun program to get talk to people about and get people motivated to change their travel patterns.
And if there's anything that needs to be done in terms of the United States being part of a global community, reducing our auto emissions is for me probably at the top of the list. I mean, it's what everybody does, and it kind of haunts me. We'll get to that a little bit, because if you live in a place where it isn't that easy and you're 61 years old, what are some of the options you have for that? Because I'm scared to ride a bike on the streets. I ride it on the bike paths, but driving down Pontotoc, I'm scared when someone's on a bike, let alone me being on the bike. So let's talk about a little bit when you say that I want to know how it works, how people start, because if I went to an office, I'm home office, but I have meetings all the time. If I went to an office work every day, like downtown, which is still a hub, or the university, or pockets on Broadway, or maybe the Northwest Side, Raytheon, big employers, how do you go about it? How does someone that's listening say, well, you know what? I might be able to carpool, which I, of course, would think it's fun because I'd have somebody to talk to. Any chance I can for a meeting, I want to talk whoever, if I'm going downtown and someone else is, I'll pick you up because then we can talk.
It's really pretty easy. You first start about where do you live and where do you work? And then you kind of look at what your transportation options are based on where you're living and working. And what we look at is people first get in kind of the motivation to look at alternative transportation because of money. They want to save money, and they look at gas prices and realize what they're spending for gas, as well as the upkeep of their vehicles. And to put a little plug in, we have a great commute cost calculator on our website at www.884ride.org, and you can compute the amount of money it costs you to commute on a daily, monthly, and annual basis. And people generally are shocked at what it costs them.
The wear and tear on the car,
right.
The tune-ups, the tires, the insurance, yep. Everything.
It's not just the gas money.
It's not just the gas money.
So once you see how much it costs to drive every day, people are very receptive to looking at alternatives. So if the first thing is, are you on a bus route? Can we find you a bus to get you to where you want to go? If that doesn't serve your purpose, do you need the flexibility of carpooling? Let's talk about carpooling. Do you live close enough to work to ride a bike or walk? So there's variations depending on where you live and where you work that we can work with you. And then we ultimately send you to our website where we have an interactive system where people can learn all their transportation options on our website by telling us where they live and work. And maybe they can find a carpool partner. Maybe they can find a van pool. Maybe they'll find a bus route that they can maybe get to a park and ride lot, take an express bus. There's just a bunch of options. And a lot of that information is available through our website.
And if you wanted to do it, so would you go in and say, you put your address in? I mean, I'd like to know how it worked. Would you put like 5281, put your address in and the zip code, and then put your destination for where you worked, and then it's answers generated by computer?
Totally. So what we call is your commuter form. You'll fill out your profile by doing exactly as you said. You submit your profile, and then you push carpool match list. I want to see if there's anybody in the database that I can match with. And then you get a list, hopefully, of potential carpool partners, and then you can communicate with them right through our interactive website. Email them, you can get their phone number and make contact and start making arrangements to carpool to work. It's that simple. And then you start on your venture.
Yeah. And I was looking at the website that because you have a contest going on to enter different things that people have done. And it's fun to watch and see what they've done for their bike or the days they're not using it or how many days they had to go. I don't remember all the details. You can fill us in. But there are people really engaged and are people having fun sharing their stories on your Facebook page.
Yes. We love that part. The Facebook page generates a lot of interaction. But through our contest, people are logging in their commutes on a daily basis to qualify for prizes. And we're approaching 1,000 people that are participating in our contest.
That blows me away. I mean, I think that's a big number for Tucson. Yeah, I really do. 1,000, I'd be really happy about that all day long.
They win great prizes. It's a great incentive
people
program.
People love prizes. I mean, my husband and I talk about that all the time. People love to win something. When we have prizes on our website, lots of interaction.
Yep.
And they're it incentivizes very committed. Them.
Very committed to logging in their commutes, bikers especially. When we ran the first contest and it ended, people continued to submit their logs and enter and record their commute trips. And just because they had gotten into the habit, they want to know how many miles they're saving, how many pounds of pollution they're saving, what's their cost saving. So people continue to use our commute calendar after the contest is over. But we still have the contest going till December, and we've got some really big prizes still coming up this year. So if you're not playing yet, go to our
get
website.
Get in and play our game. And feel free to give gentle reminders to the Mrs. Green team to spread the word, because we can. And I love doing that about that. Okay, so also in Tucson, and I want to know how this works because I've just heard about it from friends and friends' kids. If you have to go someplace really far and it's 110, you can ride your bike to a bus stop and then get the bus. Does the bike hook on the front of the bus or the back of the bus? Obviously, I'm not paying attention. I see buses all the time. But what do you do with your bike? Do you put it on the bus?
Yes. Well, on the rack. There's a rack on the front of the bus, and it holds two bikes. So you can easily bike to a bus and load your bike onto the front rack of the bus. And it's really very simple to do. And then you're on your way to wherever you're going. Get your bike off the bus, and there's no extra charge. You're paying for one fare for you to board the bus. So you can come combine modes. And we also have people that combine, they carpool to park and ride lots and pick up a bus, or they carpool to the park and ride lot and get in a van pool. So there's a lot of people that are combining various modes, or they'll bike to the park and ride lot and take the bus. So there's some great things going on in the community all over, depending on how far they have to go and what they how they want to get there.
And by and large, let's talk a little bit. I'm very interested with this idea that you said you work with employers who have mandates to reduce transportation, blah, blah, blah. What kind of programs do you do with them? And do they, like if someone bikes to work, do they make sure they have safe places to, you know, park the bikes to minimize, you know, theft and stuff like that? And I just want to say, we went out shoot some video at TriSports, and Debbie Claggett and Seton, the owners, they are in triathlons. So they bike to work. They take turns because they have two kids, so that they have the, you know, mom does it one day or dad does it another day. And they actually pay their staff like a nickel or something, a nickel a mile or something really nice for those who ride their bikes. They have an incentive for riding your bike to work. What kind of things do you have with employers? Do they sometimes incentivize their staff, or is it a mandate? How does that work? You can't make someone use an alternative transportation, right?
No, you can't, but you can certainly provide financial incentives, and financial incentives will
work.
Yes. They change behavior overnight. So we have a lot of companies in Tucson that subsidize bus passes. So
awesome.
Many employees get discounted bus passes. They all, I would say virtually 90% of our companies have bike storage facilities. So there's very few that don't have racks or some type of storage facility for bikes. They also do recognition programs. They one company we're working with, Community Food Bank, has just gone headstrong into this.
How awesome. They're such great community partners, not just in the food bank piece. They're, they're so early innovators, thought leaders. So what are they doing?
They do award luncheons for those people that participate. They do very low-cost incentive items for their employees, and then they also participate in our contests. We promote our contests to our employers and tell them this is a free incentive. Just tell your employees about it. So if they're already doing it or considering to do it, this is a great incentive program for them to get involved in. But the subsidies and other incentive things, awards, recognition type things, they do prize drawings for movie tickets. And quite often companies have quarterly drawings for people who carpool. They offer preferential parking for carpoolers. And that's a big deal when you get into some of these huge parking lots, and getting close to the door is a nice little incentive. So, and that's a really cheap little thing to do.
You know, it's really interesting because I'm a Jersey girl. So my first job was in New York City, and I lived in Jersey. Literally, my first job was at Perkins Pancake House. Yeah, so there. So I didn't count that. But when I went to the big time, I worked in New York, and I commuted New York from Jersey. And I loved it. And I loved it because I would meet girlfriends there, and I loved it because I could sleep if I had too much fun the night before. I would count that as an extra hour and 10 minutes of sleep, and I would read. So now I would love to have an opportunity. I don't like driving. I would love to be able to use more of that. When you have a home office, it's a little bit harder, but it's really, there are so many advantages to me to commute on a bus. Leave the driving to them. I would be over that. I took the bus for the first like 3 years that I moved here. I was, you know, at Broadway and Stella, so I could get the bus out at Stella and take it downtown, which all buses lead downtown, so it was really easy. So I get that.
But let me say one thing, that you're commute, non-existent commute, is definitely an alternative mode. We look for people to do teleworking, and that's a big alternative mode that we promote with companies, is to have your people work from home. Now you're not driving at all to work, so it's not boarding the bus or riding your bike. You're not using your car at all. So don't downplay that you have a home office. That's a great option for a lot of employees, so that they don't have to get in their car at all. So we do look at that as an alternative mode.
That's a great thing to bring up, because we're spread out, and we have some people in Boston and some people in Michigan. I mean, the Mrs. Green team, I have another team member in Boulder, but there are five of us here, and we like to get together. But what we've started doing is every other team meeting, we do it by teleconference. Mm-hmm. And it does save, it's like for me, it saves staff time and money because we just get on at 8:30 and you're there and there's no driving from halfway across town. So it's part of our commitment too. And every once in a while, we do like to get together and, you know, have some unhealthy snack or whatever, but it's you're right. And we had a meeting yesterday and we were going to go downtown and I said, we can do a three-way call. And it's not that I don't want to go, but it's so much greener to be able to do that. So that's a really good example. What are the best ways that you get the word out? Is it word of mouth? How do people learn about it? Hopefully Mrs. Green's World is helping with the shout out. I know it's not the big silver bullet you've been waiting for, but it's multiple ways. What's been your most effective way to get the word out about all that you offer? Because it seems to me there's something for everyone, even this idea to have fewer meetings and do a telecommute.
Well, I would think, given that question, I think getting it through our employer base. We have transportation coordinators at the major employers in town, and if they...
So get to the masses of people that are traveling. Okay.
Right. If they publicize our events and our services, they get to a lot more people and a lot faster than we can with other techniques. We are doing a lot of advertising now. Our Facebook page has created a nice little loyal fan base. But we also have 3,000 people in our commuter database that I communicate with regularly through email and sending them information about contests, incentives, things going on in the community. So that certainly helps. And then they talk to their friends. So
word of mouth.
Yep, it's huge.
Word of mouth is huge.
Yep.
And one thing that it would be fun that'll probably come to Tucson eventually, like I'm writing for this magazine now about car efficiency, cracks me up. Mrs. Green, the garage man, right? But it's the whole zip car concept, and now there, I didn't know that there were communities all over the United States that have the whole bike, it's the equivalent of a bike, you know, Portland, you bike share. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have the cost. Some of the things that the amounts that people pay for their bikes, it's like, really, that's about 4 years mortgage payment. But they have where if you just want to have it and you're at work and you took the subway, but you want to get cross town, New York has it, Boston has it, Portland has it, where you can actually share a bike. Mm-hmm. And you put a card in and you get it out. So that'd be a nice thing to come to Tucson soon.
We're looking at it. We're looking at putting
yes.
in a bike station in downtown Tucson as part of the new PAG building. And so we're now doing a lot of research, looking around the country at other models of bike stations. And that's something we're looking at in the bike station, is to offer bike sharing, bike rentals, bike sales, so the people have a good place to go for commuter biking facilities and accessories. So We're there, Gina.
Going
we're
there. I love it. I love it. Tucson's
things.
On the cutting edge. Well, it's rated one of the most bike-friendly cities in the country. Is it? It's in the top three. Am I right?
I don't know about top three. We're
it's
in the
up
top
there.
10.
Top 10? But
yeah,
top 10,
top
I'm taking
10.
That one. It's good.
And comparing it to places I've lived, I would definitely say it's in the top one. Most of the places I lived didn't have bike lanes. And you can get pretty much anywhere in Pima County area, I want to say more the metro area, by bike lanes and any kind of off-road bike path. So I feel very comfortable biking here. I don't have too many issues except lately with construction. But other than construction, it's pretty easy
it's
to
everywhere.
Get around town.
And you have to have that for progress, but it is frustrating. And I am constantly saying to people, go down to 4th Avenue, go downtown, go down to 4th Avenue, go downtown, which then we do have dinners down there. We went out the other night after an event at the Children's Museum. I said, no, let's stay downtown. We went to 47 Scott, keep those businesses alive till the streetcars finished. And it's really, to me, it's really important that people know that. But let me ask you this. So people that listen to this are pretty much focused on Tucson for this show. They recently did a major change in on Campbell Avenue. And for those not in Tucson, it's a north-south hub for people to come down that street. And I don't know if you know this or can answer it, because it was probably another division of PAG, but they actually made it go from two lanes to one, because it's a divided highway, and they put in a much wider bike lane.
So, that's a Pima County. That's not
how awesome.
Yeah, I've seen it. It looks really good.
And it makes me as a driver feel safer.
Yep.
I think that Pontotoc should not allow bikes. It makes me so nervous because there's no, it's a, first of all, the road needs major repair. And you're driving down there and people speed, and then you have a bike and it's like, you know, go around the blind curves. But we're not talking about that on this show, Ruth. Let's go.
Good things.
Talk about good things. And there are so many good things. And I want to, I'd like to know what your graphic artist is, because like the poster for the 21st of September.
Cool, isn't it?
It's really, and it's fun, and it's hip, and it's, I want to share it, and I want to put it up on my Facebook page.
We've been using the tennis shoe. It's September 21st is, September 22nd is International Car-Free Day.
But you can't have it be on a Saturday.
Right, so we're doing it on Friday this year, and this is our third year of doing it, and Phil's done that tennis shoe.
It's Phil? He's so good. Yep. He is so good.
It's a fun with a daisy, and we've been using that, changing the colors a bit, but it's been a fun.
It's very appealing.
Yeah.
Soothing to the eye. So tell us about that day and what you're hoping to accomplish.
Well, we started out with it 2 years ago, or I should say 3 years ago, as a very grassroots promotion. Done it straight through Facebook, not a lot of pizzazz, not a lot of outreach or publicity, and we asked people to talk about their commutes on Car-Free Day. Tell us your story. Last year, we got 10 times more participation, and we had 55 people post their stories versus 10 in the first year, and we want people to have fun. Tell us your story in audio, video, photos. What did you see? What did you do? How'd you get to work? And post it on Facebook or
our
website.
That's a Facebook like nirvana.
Yes.
People like to see things. They don't care if there's an arsenic spill in the middle of Montana, but if I went to breakfast at a locally owned restaurant, they want to see pictures of people.
Exactly.
Real live people connecting.
So yeah, so I did my Car-Free story
last Friday.
And
I saw it.
I can't do it on this on
Go
the
Ruth.
Car-Free day. And I did my Car-Free commute last Friday, and I had a blast. I took my camera with me, and I took pictures of stupid
acts. Whole thing. I loved it.
I took pictures of construction, and I took pictures of my confusion, and I had a good time with it. Once I got to work, Phil came down, took some pictures of me arriving at work. So I did my little Car-Free story, and we hope a lot of people will be out there doing the same thing. And the other nice thing we're doing this year, we're having a couple food stations so we can greet and meet some people biking and walking and taking the bus to work on Friday. And we'll have free breakfast stuff and some other freebies for people to help themselves to on Friday at Williams Center. And then a second one on the 4th Avenue, Fontana Avenue Bike Boulevard at Saguaro Street.
Good, good,
so
good.
Come out
really
6:30 to 8:30 on Friday.
You know, people need to go to 4th Avenue. It's such a fun place. And you do stuff with them, with Bikus and all of those events. It's a really fun, talk about eclectic place to shop and buy different kind of presents and eat different kinds of food. It's, to me, it's what the city of Tucson is. It's 4th Avenue.
And
people
that's
say, show me the city. Well, yeah, let's go down there.
And that's our newest bike boulevard, 4th Avenue. So from University up to Prince is now a bike boulevard, which means there's traffic calming features. There's limited access for automobiles. So it's a
Did
nice...
Did you say traffic calming features?
Calming, yes.
Calming. Tell calming. Me about that.
That slows down the autos. There are things like traffic circles.
Okay.
And
I love that. Traffic calming features. Okay. I learned a new phrase today.
Street
love
bumps.
It.
Yes. Cars have to drive slower to deal with those types of features in the roads. And it's a wide boulevard, so it's very low traffic, and people can walk freely and bike on those without too much traffic. And then there's crossing areas on the major intersections that allow bikers and walkers to cross safely. So they're wonderful features. This is the second one in Tucson. The 3rd Street Bike Boulevard is the one I use to get to work, and I love it. It's just so much fun to bike on there. And Fontana is now the second one. And so it
And does 3rd Street, is that the one that goes all through Sam Hughes neighborhood?
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Yep.
And it's wide enough. Again, it's like I feel safe there. I feel really safe on the, you know, the bike path underneath the bridges. That's where I really feel safe. So it's okay.
Well, try the bike boulevards, Gina. You'll will find that those are really comfortable places to bike.
And I think it's coming. Now, what about, I have to ask the very personal question, which you do not have to answer on these syndicated airwaves. When you get to work, if it was 110 degrees and you're hot and sweaty and soaked, what do? Just put your work clothes on and tell everybody to get over it? Or what happens when you get to work?
Well, there's a couple things. I don't bike in the summer because I do sweat so
awful.
Much. It's terrible. But if I do, I actually go across the street to the Y
and shower
and clean up there.
That's a great answer.
Yep, I bring my extra clothes with me. I bike in different clothes than what I would wear at work. Even on when I bike on casual Fridays, I still bring different clothes. But to mention the bike station that I talked to you about for bike sharing, we're looking at putting lockers in there and storage facilities so people will have a place to go to shower when they bike into downtown. So it's a great feature, and people do ask that. What do I do? You know, helmet hair. Who wants to have helmet hair all day?
I don't. You and I were talking about hair. It's like, you really care. Chicks really care.
Yes.
If it's Mr. Green, not so much. But if you really care.
Helmet hair is
done. Helmet hair,
no,
not good.
Good.
It's like, you know, it's like bedhead. We don't want that in our public persona.
Nope. So that's part of the gig in the morning is go fix the clothes and fix the hair and then go to work. So yes, it's a preparation. So I have to know the day before, what do I need to pack? What do I need to take with me? And what am I going to have to do when I get there?
It's such a really great thing to do also. I mean, I know more and more people that are doing it, and it's not, there's a whole health perspective that makes you a healthier person. It's not just better for the health of the planet, but if you're riding your bike, I mean, I know some bike fanatics that I would call fanatics, but then I know people that it's just a really wonderful, healthy component in their life. I do spinning, so I like being on a bike, and it's just encouraging. What do you say are some of the, like, the biggest barriers? You can hear mine in my conversation. It's fear, and I don't have a regular commute. So, but even still, I could probably go on bikes a little bit more. What are some of the biggest barriers for anyone to take another transportation? Is it just habit? Is it they just don't think about it? Is that nobody's getting in their face? But you know what I mean? It's like we're such habitual creatures, and change is tough. What have you seen are the biggest, let's say, resistance that you're getting from more people doing this?
There's a couple things. It's lack of flexibility. Everyone wants to have access
what
to
they
their...
want when they want it.
Yes.
It's so true. I want to get out my car at 5:05.
Yep. They want their car. The second thing is they're afraid that they're going to get stranded. And we do have a program for that. It's called Guaranteed Ride Home, which is free taxi service in case they have an emergency during the day. So if you've used an alternative mode coming to work and your kid gets sick, you get sick, something happens at the house, you have to get home, we have free taxi service.
Like, who knew that till now? Right. I did not know that. I hope everybody listening,
it's
that's
free.
A fear.
Yeah. It's something that is a barrier. So we have a program to help with that. The other thing we say to people is you don't have to do it 5 days a week.
Right.
How
baby
about
steps,
one day?
Small steps, yep. Big impact.
Try one day. I bike to work on casual Fridays. That I can do. Try it one day carpooling. Try one day riding the bus. If it works for you, add on another day or do it when you can. It doesn't have to be a 5-day commitment that this is an obligation for you. So it's one day a week. You cut your cost 20% by just getting out of your car one day a week. So that's the way we market it to people and suggest that they don't have to dive
that's
in.
That's an awesome feedback. It's a great, I love it when people say that's a great question. Well, that was a great answer because that's what I write about a lot. You don't all of a sudden, you know, sell your house, go live in a yurt and start with a composting toilet. You start by turning the lights off and not using plastic bags and not using plastic bottles. And you keep moving to that. I know. Can you believe this? We're getting the 2-minute mark. And I'm like, what are you kidding me? We got to wrap up here. What else we want to say? So those are some of the challenges that you work with. What are some of the most, I love to talk about successes, something that you just kind of got behind your desk and said, yes, you know, this is really working, and that your team and the people at PAG feel good about in terms of everything that Sun Rideshare is doing?
Well, the one I like the most, I like talking about the most, is we just did a direct marketing project pilot study with the Keeling neighborhood, which is just north of Grant and between Stone and First. And we did a direct marketing project with them, trying to get them to use active transportation more often and to learn about their transportation options. And that neighborhood has just come on so strong. They loved that we were there. They loved having these events. The kids got into it. The kids are pushing their parents. So we got things on our survey from them about how wonderful everything was and that they're trying harder to get out and about.
Love
and,
it.
And they
targeted
learned a
market.
Lot.
Okay, yep. What a great time we had. I mean, I'm serious. So everyone, thank you for being a part of our conversation tonight. With me was Ruth Ryman, Travel Demand Management Manager from Sun Rideshare, which is a program operating under Pima Association of Governments. Thank you for being a part of it. Shout out your website.
884ride.org.
884ride.org. Always, you can ask Mrs. Green. Everybody, thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World. Live Saturday at noon, www.mrsgreensworld.com. Make it a great green week. Ruth, thanks a lot.
It was fun. Thank you.
It was fun.